And it wasn't one of those, you know, hellfire and brimstone, you need to preach this because they need to hear it. Every topic in the Bible is that way. Everything that we can preach about and teach about and learn about is that important. It is. It should be held up that to that degree. But it was a topic that came to me again, like I said, through prayer. But it came to me the way I thought of it and looked at it was, what would I like to hear, especially a first-time speaker? What would I like to hear a speaker speak about? Something basic, something simple, something that everybody, which I believe everybody on this planet knows about, everybody hears. So I'll be speaking to you folks about something that you already know quite a bit about. I believe that most people, and not just Christians, know about this topic. Now, I'm not trying to be humorous here or anything, and I'm not lifting up Hollywood by any stretch of the imagination. But a long, long time ago, they made a movie of this topic. Okay? And at Easter time, this movie, along with The Wizard of Oz, showed almost simultaneously. All right? And I can remember as a kid, you know, even thinking then, wow, these are really two vastly different movies that are playing. But my parents, you know, they let me watch. They let me watch anything, but they let me watch them. You know, and so you're looking at The Wizard of Oz, you're looking at and the other movie, if you haven't caught on yet, is The Ten Commandments. All right? So you're looking at The Wizard of Oz, and you're thinking, okay, The Wizard of Oz. There's this wizard who lives in essentially utopia, who lives behind a curtain and is afraid of the shadow. And then the other movie is of our God and our Creator. One is abundantly false and fictitious. One is abundantly clear and obvious. So the Ten Commandments, a movie, I was so excited about watching these movies, and if I'm looking around, we got a few young guys in this and girls in this crowd, but I can remember sitting in front of the TV watching one of the movies, and usually they'd be on ABC and NBC would play the other. So when a commercial came, what do you got to do as a kid? You know, back when I was 8 years old, you got to run over to the TV, change the channel, turn the rotor, and wait for the snow and everything to disappear off the screen so you can watch whatever movie it was until the commercial came on there. And then my father would, he'd watch it for about 20 minutes and say, "You're driving me crazy," and he'd leave the room. So anyway, the Ten Commandments. It was, trying to watch this movie, it was a lot of work. Sometimes they'd play them on different nights. That was easy. It wasn't half the work. But anyway, so I'm not saying because of this movie is why I knew about the Ten Commandments. I did attend church for a while as I was a young kid, up till about 12. My dad decided it was better off for me to start working, so that's what I started to do. I think some of you guys in here can kind of relate to that too. We've worked most of our lives. But for a lot of people, so there's page two. We're going through this quick. So for a lot of people, that truly is the only way they knew about the Ten Commandments. Okay, which it's hard for us to realize, to really look at that and say, how can that be? You know, I mean, you wake up every day, you go outside, you see His creation, you must know. Well, ignorance plays a huge role in that, but the laws of God is a lot of the times, that is all they saw. That's how they kind of based their life on, was this movie, which in many ways that's sad that people live that way. But I believe everyone knows there's a certain way to live. Everyone knows there's a certain way to live and how to conduct themselves in their everyday walk. I truly believe that. I also believe there's an evil in this world. As we all know, there is. But unbelievers and lukewarm believers, well, you know, evil, that's a strong word. No, there's evil in this world. There is evil alive and kicking in this world. Okay? There's a mindset of pride and unaccountability. This is what I call it. The nobody is going to tell me how to live mindset. You know, I'm an 18-year-old and I know everything. Or I'm a 28-year-old man and by gosh, nobody's going to tell me how to do anything. And nobody's going to tell me how to live my life. I can speak personally on that. That's how I was up until I was about 31 years old, thank God. So with that mindset, people carry on with their lives. But folks, God knows that this was going to be. God knew from the beginning of time, God knew this is how we were going to be. This is how we were going to turn out. This is how we were going to live our lives. All right? So he knew man with his free will would go down this path. All right? That's why he, and I say scribed, his laws into stone. Whether it was with his finger or a pen of fire, he wrote his laws, these Ten Commandments, in stone, out a ledge, off of a side of a mountain, and he presented them to his faithful servant, Moses. All right? And then Moses had the job of presenting them to the Israelites, who he just, by God's guidance and grace, led them out of bondage from the Egyptians. So Moses presents these laws to the Israelites. Now understand, these laws, these commandments, as every word in this Bible, are to be taken literally. There's no room for a redefinition. There's no room for taking out or adding to. It says that in Revelation. But everything in this Bible, including these Ten Commandments, are to be taken literally. All right? So God knows us, and he knows we're going to break these laws. Okay, I can say this, hopefully not all of them, but however, when we break a law, when we go outside of these commandments, we are to, what, confess our fault, confess our sin, repent, and come back to him. That's what we are to do. If we go outside of these laws, these commandments, now, these commandments, these 10 that are listed, they go along with about 600 plus other commandments. But these 10 are listed. These aren't the only commandments that he has given us. And so, but these 10 commandments are the ones that I'm kind of talking about today, because I can't talk about all 630 of them. When we do this, that's what we are to confess them to him. And repent. Pick yourself back up. Do your very best to not break these laws, any more of his laws again. I can remember, you know, as they say, as a child, you're, you know, to a certain age, and every child's different, you're not held accountable, essentially. I can remember as a young kid, my mom would load me up in the car, my sister and I, and we'd have to go grocery shopping. I had 100 things I'd rather do than go grocery shopping with my mother on Saturday morning, but that's what we did. So we're at the grocery store, we're standing in line, and what do the marketers do? They put all of the candy head high to a 6 or 7 year old so that he can just look at all this bubble gum and all of these hard candies and candy bars. Well, we're standing in line, and I'm waiting for my mother, and I look, and there's a pack of strawberry Bubblicious, and I needed that pack of gum. I needed that pack of gum. And I'm looking around, and I'm thinking, wow, I have a dollar of allowance. That's what we were given, a dollar for allowance. It's 25 cents. Wow, I could buy that. So I picked it up, and I'm hanging on to it. Well, I'm in between two carts. Nobody can see me. So the bubble gum ends up in my pocket. And I'm standing there, minding my own business. We got outside. We almost got out to the car, and I take the thing of Bubblicious out of my pocket, and I open it up. And my sister goes, "Where'd you get that?" I said, "Oh, I just got it in there." She goes, "I didn't see you pay for it." And then, of course, my mother, "Did you pay that?" It's like, "Well, no, I guess I didn't." No. And whoa, she stretched my ear out all the way to the store. We got back in, and she said, "You tell him what you did." I said, "I took the bubble to the manager. I took the bubble gum." And she said, "No, you tell him what you did." And I said, "Oh, I took the bubble gum." She goes, "You stole that bubble gum." She said, that is breaking a law of God. And I'm like, it's not that serious. It's just a thing of bubble gum. And I had to pay for it because I opened it. I paid for it. And then she kept the bubble gum. So, you know, I mean, I was held, but my mother held me accountable. It's just like the Father's going to do to us in our day of judgment. He is going to hold us accountable. Okay? He promises you that. It's right here. Right here in the Bible, he tells you, you've got to be held accountable. So, I was a kid. I was just a kid at this point in my life, okay? Between knowing and not knowing, right from wrong. But I knew it was wrong to steal. I knew that, okay? But I did it anyway. I was tempted, and I made the wrong decision. And then I was held accountable. So let's get into discussing these Ten Commandments, all right? So Exodus 20, if you can turn to Exodus 20. And we're going to start, and let me see. I'll just go ahead and start with verse 1. The first commandment will be in verse 3 of Exodus 20, all right? So, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." All right. Commandment number 1. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right. 8 words. 8 simple words. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. All right. Remember, I said, these commandments are to be taken literally. Very easy to understand. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. It doesn't say, if you want, you know, if you recognize me, okay, but you can have this other god. No. Do not put another god before him. Thou shalt not have another god before me. All right? So this leaves no room for what they call polytheism. Most know polytheism is a belief in many gods. All right. Now, other gods range from a calf made of gold, like the Israelites were doing when Moses returned from receiving these commandments. Other gods can also be trees or the sun. That's not what God intended. You are to worship no other thing. Put no other thing before him. However, other gods are whatever takes the glory away from God or anything that we delight in, fear, or serve we have made a god out of that. Anything that takes God's glory and our praise away from him is a god. Okay? Now, pride makes a god of yourself. Pride, self-pride. You lift yourself up in whatever it is you're doing. You're giving yourself praise. You essentially put yourself in front of God through pride. All right? Golly, drying up. Sorry, folks. So, the I did this, or by myself, I got to where I'm at in life by myself. See everything that I have. Where's the glory to God in that? Where is the praise for God in that? In saying, this is all me. Okay, understand, having pride or being proud is not a bad thing. It's a feeling or an emotion that we get. Being proud of what you have accomplished at work is a good thing. Work hard, do a good job, and be proud. Raising children, same thing. You raise your children with guidance and praise for God for the blessing that they are. And it's fine to be proud of your children. All right? But always, always praise God. Praise him for your abilities to work hard and do a good job for him. Praise him for your children and the opportunity he has given us to raise them up in his light. Okay? So don't put any other gods before him. He will go on in the next commandment, and we can go to that. The second commandment is verse 4. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Okay? Graven image is a carved image, a molded image. All right? This may seem a bit redundant to the first commandment. The first commandment is more of a self. Do not put yourself, oneself, as a God, above God. This is a physical image. Okay? They're basically talking about self, elevation above God. Commandment number one. The me, and I. This commandment is saying, do not bow down physically to any other thing in worship. Okay? Moses returns from receiving these Ten Commandments. And that's exactly what the Israelites, who have been saved and removed from bondage from our God, are bowing down and worshiping other figures, other gods. Don't do that. And if you do, God tells us he will visit the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation. All right? This means, parents, if you bow to worship another god and your children walk in the same manner, God will severely punish them for it. If they continue in your path, he's going to deal with you but he's also going to deal with your children. All right? The commandment ends with, of them that hate me. All right? The third and fourth generation, of them that hate me. People that worship other gods, other things, may think, I don't hate your God, I just don't worship him. I'm going to worship this, I'm going to worship that. Well, I'm not going to worship your God, and I don't hate him. However, in God's eyes, in God's sight, that's hate. They're not claiming him, they're denying him. That is hate. Okay? By them denying him and worshiping something, whatever else, God looks at that as hate. Hate's a very, very strong word. You know, I said the other day, I hate the heat. Well, I really don't like it. But to say I hate it is but God is saying here, hate me. Therefore, if you don't honor him and you honor and worship something else, you are hating God. We can go on to verse, or commandment number 3, which is, in my Bible, it's verse 7, Exodus 20, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. This one, I can only imagine most everyone has committed this sometime in their life. After studying it and really see, I mean, this is very deep, because it's a short commandment. You know, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. But when you start turning the pages and turning over the rocks here and really seeing, taking the Lord's name in vain isn't just saying, oh my, bleep. Anything that pertains, that is holy, anything that is a part of God, and you say, you know, I'm not going to say it, but JC, well, that is taking the Lord God in vain, his name in vain. So, please, bear with me, folks. I know for a fact that, you know, in my daily walk, I will say, oh, my word, or, you know, even, holy cow, okay? That in itself, you are disrespecting what is holy. And it's easy to do. Trust me, it's very easy to do. As we said before, when you do break these commandments and offend, repent. Say, God, I'm sorry. And when you take the Lord's name in vain, I'm not saying you have to pull over on the side of the road, hit your knees and say, God, I'm sorry, forgive me. But you can think. You can think to him, because he knows your thoughts. God, I'm sorry. I did not mean that. I am sorry. I messed up. Vain means in the way of blasphemy. I got a little dictionary going on here. So, vain means in the way of blasphemy. Blasphemy, Blasphemy means profane talk or sacrilegious. Sacrilegious means disrespectful toward God. In my mind, if we don't give God praise and glory for his creation, that's disrespecting him. It's so easy to go outside of this commandment. It's so very easy to go outside of this commandment. What God is saying is, give me glory for everything. Do not hold back. Do not disrespect me. Do not disrespect mine. Same as your own family. You want people to respect you. You want people to respect yours. That's what God is saying. God wants respect. He demands respect. He deserves respect. Okay? So, don't disrespect God and don't cuss. Cuss. Don't swear. That sounds easy. You're thinking, I love and respect God, and I don't swear. The problem is, taking the Lord's name in vain is so much deeper than just cussing. Some folks name Christ as their Savior, but then to continue in iniquity or immorality, that's taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm a believer. I take the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And then I carry on in my worldly ways. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. You have claimed to be and have Christ and know Christ as your Savior. And then you walk a different walk. It's taking the Lord's name in vain. By making promises to God, then not living up to them, it's taking the Lord's name in vain. Making a promise to God. God, I'm going to stop drinking. Promise. And then you go have a little nip. That's, you have promised to God, our holy God, our Creator. And then you didn't hold up your end of the deal. You have taken the Lord's name in vain. By using or mentioning any of his attributes. Attributes was the big word I was searching for a couple of minutes ago. So, of any of his attributes in an oath for no good purpose, oh my, for blank sake, I swear to blank, you are taking the Lord's name in vain. Since I've been a believer, I've heard this said a few times, and it's the truth, and I think everybody here will agree with it. Once I got saved, I lost half my vocabulary. And that is the truth. Because the old tempter himself is wanting us to use that language. Whether it's cussing and swearing, sailors always get the bad rap, but cussing like a sailor or going, you know, or living the, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer, and then walking this way. You're taking the Lord's name in vain. So it's so true. I mean, I personally came to know the Lord when I was 31 years old. The day before, I could stay up with any sailor in my walk, in my talk. The day after, there was a lot of times I didn't know what to say. There was a lot of times I just said, okay, this is different. And my daily walk, I got stronger and stronger and stronger. And now, I'm not going to say I'm perfect, and now when I may slip up, I bow my head right there and I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I do not use his disgustingly. But if I do cuss, I do pray to him that please forgive me. I'm only human. That's a scapegoat of a sentence. I know that. I'm only human statement, but I'm only human. The second part of the commandment is, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. All right? For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. It's saying God is going to hold those that take his name in vain accountable. That's a word that people don't even know what means in today's world. In today's world is a disgusting world. Where we're at right now as a society is horrendous. But God hasn't changed. God is going to hold them accountable. You will be found guilty by our living God, and you will be afraid, scared, as we should be. And God is coming down on you. You should be afraid. So, simple. Don't cuss. Mitzi, okay? No cussing. All right. Don't swear to God about anything. Unless, of course, you're in a court of law. If that's the case, tell the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And glorify God by doing it. By living out that commandment, you will, and just praising Him for all and everything and respecting Him, you will be fulfilled. You will have a sense of rejoice and happiness, knowing that I am respecting my Lord God, my Creator. I promise you. So the fourth, this is a good one. And I'm looking around at most of the men here, and I think we're all going to be able to say, yeah, boy, I've broken that one a few times. Probably some women too. But verse 8, Exodus 20. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within the gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. All right. So again, I will speak personally. I'm not going to call anybody out. But I know for a fact I have broken this commandment an innumerable amount of times. I have worked on this day. Sometimes, most of the times, it was my job. Most of you know what I did for work. Couldn't control it. But there have been many times where I've got home from church and I've looked out at my lawn and I said, that is horrible. And I have fired the lawnmower up and I went to work. God's saying, don't do that. Don't work. You got 6 days. You've got 6 days. There are 7 days in a week. 6 of those days, God's saying, work. Do your thing. But on the seventh day, God says, remember it and keep it holy. God himself rested on the seventh day. Therefore, he's telling us to rest. Remember this day. Keep it holy. Rest. Now, I know what I did for work. Like I said, this is work. This is my job. I know what a lot of you guys do and have done for work. Okay? But imagine this. You and me and God are sitting there, which I believe we're going to be able to do in heaven. We're sitting there and we're talking. Hey, Andy, what you do today? Well, I built a bridge. Or I oversaw building of a bridge. All right. Jamie, what you do today? Well, I hung a transformer. Ran some wire. Oh. Hey, God, what you do today? I created the universe. No? Or I created man and all living things. He rested. On that last final day, he rested. By the way society is today, I think he should have taken a little bit more time on that creating of man, because we're pretty broken right now. But, I can remember this, and probably kind of common in a lot of places, but you'd be at work and you'd need something. It's a Friday afternoon, you know, and you need something brand new. Take it out of the box, the bag, whatever. And you realize it's broken. It's brand new out of the box. It's broken. First thing I'd say, it was probably built on a Friday, on the last day of the week, you know. And that's when God created man. It was the last day of the week. And we're pretty broken. But anyway, I digress, as we all say now behind the pulpit, I guess. But then that is not his fault. That is not God's fault that man is broken. Man has done this to himself. So God's telling us to not do any work, but to keep this day that we're enjoying right here, right now, to keep this day holy. If your job requires you to work on a Sunday, God knows this. Take it up with him. Make time for him. Even though you're not going to work 24 hours. You shouldn't have to work 24 hours. Take time. Give him glory. Keep it holy. Praise him and glorify him throughout the week. Do all for the glory of God. Amen? Amen. So, next week, we're going to stop there. That was the first four. The first four commandments are essentially God and man relationship. The next six are man to man relationship. So we'll be going over those next week. I thank you guys. I thank you folks for, you know, you didn't have much to say in this, but I hope you were able to get something out of this. And I certainly have. This has been an absolute eye-opener for me, because you can read them, and in your mind you can make sense out of them, but if you don't dig deep into them, you won't see just how many layers there are. It's been a fantastic blessing. So I thank and I praise God for that. So let's pray, and then you guys can go on and have a little fellowship time.